relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
Do you love podcasts as much as I do? I'm a bit of an addict, social media and podcasts. If you enjoy this show, make sure you never miss an episode of our one-on-one. Go to your favorite platform, go to Spotify, punch in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First, subscribe, it's absolutely free. Do write us a review, it makes a big difference. And also, share the links with your friends because that's how we serve the truth in this midterm year. It is an election year, and I am so excited. Finally, it's about to be released. In November of 2020, the Democrats were up to no good. They were planning to pull off the greatest scheme of election fraud ever seen. They didn't think that we would catch them, but we did. Find out what the Democrats did and how they did it in the new documentary film 2,000 Mules, directed and narrated by renowned filmmaker, my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza, and executive produced by the Salem Media Group with research from the amazing organization True the Vote. 2,000 Mules, I've seen it, guys. I'm actually in it with Dennis Prager, with Larry Elder, tells the story of how these criminals hijacked a presidential election. You'll see the actual video surveillance footage. You'll see how Dinesh tracked the mules with their cell phone location data, box after box, as they got paid to carry out this election fraud. Watch the movie and decide for yourself. Attend a limited release premiere of 2000 Mules May 2nd or May 4th. Check your local listings and get your tickets today at 2000mules.com. That's the number, 2000mules.com. I know somebody who I'm pretty sure is going to watch it on that premiere night is the founder, the editor-in-chief, the Grand Mufti of one of our favorite websites, American Greatness, amgreatness.com. Julie Kelly will be with us for the whole third hour to discuss latest findings on the January 6th investigation. She's one of the senior contributors. Chris Buskirk, welcome back. And he thinks this is my living room. It's not my living room, it's my new TV studio, Chris.
I love it. I haven't seen it before. It looks fantastic.
Thank you, buddy. Okay, so much to discuss, especially with my old boss endorsing J.D. Vance at the weekend. But first things first, you haven't seen the movie, but if we have footage of mules stuffing bags of ballots into Zuckerberg drop boxes in states where ballot harvesting is illegal, like Georgia, and this gets released now, as a shrewd political observer, editor of this website, do you think that can be swept under the rug, or do you think that could have an impact in the midterms, Chris?
I think it will have an impact in the midterms. It's you know how the progression of these things always goes, is it didn't happen, it's a conspiracy theory. If it did happen, it was good. And, you know, it's this whole thing that we're living out in real time right now. But I have actually seen some extended clips from the movie and some of the work that Dinesh has done and True the Vote has done. I think it is shocking. I mean, it's shocking in the sense of being appalling. And the video evidence, I think, is very, very strong. A lot of people are going to see this who, you know, kind of felt like something went wrong, but they couldn't quite put their finger on it. You know, they just had that intuition that things didn't smell right. And they've got a lot of evidence in this movie that is very, very powerful. I think will have a big impact on the elections, on the way people think about 2020. And yes, there will be a conspiracy of silence in the corporate media about this movie and about the evidence it presents. But this is exactly the opportunity for a prosecutor, maybe the attorney general in Georgia, to do the right thing. And we'll see what happens. But it's all laid out there in the movie.
And your response to those quote-unquote Republicans who say, stop looking back, you got to look forward, and it's the next election that matters, Chris?
We can walk and chew gum, and we can do more than one thing here, and we should be looking forward to 2024 in 2022, for that matter, in the sense that we want to win, and we've got elections to run, and good things to do for the American people. But 2020 is still very much a hot item, and we have to find out what really happened. We have to, and a lot of that information is now known, and that needs to be widely disseminated. Where laws were broken, people need to be prosecuted.
When it comes to the midterm elections, let's talk about J.D. Vance. Is Donald Trump the kingmaker par excellence when it comes to endorsements, Chris?
In a word, yes. This was a huge and very welcome endorsement that President Trump made of J.D. Vance on Friday afternoon. J.D. is the MAGA America First candidate in Ohio, and he's going to be a great U.S. senator. There is an almost 100% chance that he will now win the primary, and in a Trump plus nine state, that, you know, it becomes a virtual certainty that he becomes the next senator from the state of Ohio.
I didn't rehearse this with you. I didn't clear it with you in advance, and mea culpa, but this is so massively important. Where do you stand on the whole Twitter, Elon Musk war? Do you think he's a good actor? Do you think he can bring changes? Or is this just a cat amongst the pigeons that we watch for entertainment as the blue check mark commentariat go insane?
You know, here's my sense of this, and I'm not privy to any information that other people don't have and isn't public, but I kind of feel like this is one of those moments that could be like when President Trump came down the escalator in 2015, and a lot of people were wondering, is this guy for real? He's flirted with running for president before. Is this a publicity stunt? And of course, it was very much real. And some people got that very early on in the summer of 2015, and others it took a while. And my sense is that there might be a parallel here with Elon and Twitter. People wonder, is this just Elon being Elon, and does he have some other agenda here? Elon has a long track record of being very much in favor of free speech, believing that is essential to any type of representative government. And so I think that he is a good actor here. Again, we'll see over time, but my sense is that he's really trying to do something that would be a blow for free speech, and we'll just see how that plays out. But my sense is that this is actually a good thing.
And in the meantime, it's a clarifying event, is it not, Chris, when you see Saudi princes, Vanguard, and others reveal themselves for the anti-free speech activists that they are.
It just is too perfect, right? When a Saudi prince is trying to stifle free political speech in the United States, and he's siding with corporate America. The memes write themselves.
Yeah. He isn't just a Chris Buskirk. He is the Chris Buskirk. Follow him on Twitter, editor and publisher of one of our favorite websites, Host. I have written for them. So does Victor Davis Hanson regularly. Full disclosure, another of our regular guests, amgreatness.com, and the Chris Buskirk on Twitter. And guys, don't miss our third hour today. Crucial coverage, latest updates. What does it mean? Matthew Martin's case dismissed. You can't trespass Congress on January 6th if police waved you into the building. Latest updates from one of the best writers at Am Greatness, a true, true citizen journalist. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. Your calls next here on America First. 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
They thought they could get away with it. They thought they could steal an election. But we've got the evidence. It's shocking. It's Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, 2,000 Mules. I've seen it with my Salem colleagues. Dinesh invited me with Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk. We've seen it. It's absolutely cast iron evidence. It is going to be released imminently. You can see the premiere May 2nd and May 4th. It is produced with us, the Salem Media Group. We have the geolocating data from the mules that harvested the ballots illegally. We have the footage from the CCTV cameras of them dumping the illegal ballots into the Zuckerberg drop boxes. It will change the future of politics in this nation. Attend the limited release premiere. Go to check out your local listings for your tickets at 2000mules.com. That's the number, 2000mules.com. Okay, people liked what happened last week. They saw illegal migrants being shipped to the swamp by the governor of Texas. In-house cynic, Mr. G said it's just a stunt. Somebody else who should know tends to agree. Let's play the cut.
These are voluntary trips. They want to take the trip. Governor Abbott is paying to bus them 26 hours on a trip they want to take. Instead of busing them 2 miles back across the Mexican border, which is what he should be doing. And until he does that, let me be really clear about this. Until he does that, and he does have the authority to remove people from Mexico to Mexico, the illegal flow will not go down. So for all the signing with Mexican state governors and so forth who don't have any authority to stop immigration across our border, it's all a show.
Former acting deputy secretary of the Department of Homeland Security for the Trump administration, former director of USIS, and the chief law enforcement officer for the Commonwealth of Virginia. We're delighted not just to play clips, but to have him on America First. Ken Cuccinelli, welcome.
I could speak in a clip fashion, if that would help.
Well, you're a pro. It's not your first rodeo. You've been on the show many times before, and you're rather good at it. So, can you just expand upon what you said in that clip? Because these aren't, you know, when people hear this news who believe in national sovereignty, in border integrity, they think, illegals are being arrested by Texas Department of Public Safety, and they're being shipped out of Texas to the swamp to put pressure on Nancy. But if you look at the details of it, it's like a high school outing to the Capitol for these illegal immigrants, is it not, Ken?
It is, and not only that, being familiar with the swamp geographically, you also know it's about 2 blocks from the cheapest, most convenient, most complete transportation hub up and down the East Coast, Union Station,
yep,
for buses and trains. So, I mean, why wouldn't they want to take the trip? Look, conservatives were criticizing the federal government when they fly people farther into the country, right? Why do we do that? Because they're facilitating with taxpayer dollars trips these people want to take to invade our country. Well, why should we hold back just because it's our friend and ally, Governor Greg Abbott, doing the exact same thing? Now, maybe there's some value, and there's certainly been plenty of press buzz about the so far six busloads of illegals that he's delivered to Washington, D.C., but that's about it. Maybe there's some, you know, some discussion value. You and I are talking about it, but we're talking about it in the context that he's going the wrong way. Under the U.S. Constitution, every governor, when their state is invaded, has the authority to repel that invasion. Texas is being invaded. Governor Abbott has the authority under Article 1, Section 10, without asking for federal permission, to repel that invasion. So why doesn't he do it? Why doesn't Governor Ducey do it? In fact, the Attorney General of Arizona, Mark Brnovich, issued a formal legal opinion about 2 months ago saying exactly this same thing, that the governors have this authority as the commander in chief of their state. He was speaking, of course, of Arizona. The same applies to Texas. And the point I made in that clip, until potential illegal aliens know and believe they're likely to be sent back across the border, they will keep coming. They will keep coming. They're happy to take the bus rides to Washington. They're happy to spend 30 days in a Texas jail, believe it or not, on the criminal trespass charges that are part of Operation Lone Star. That's just a speed bump on the way to their destination. They got a roof over their head, three square meals for 30 days, and then they move on, because when they're released from that Texas prison, they're released into the United States, not into Mexico.
Now, let me just play devil's advocate for a second, because I think this is the argument that the open borders leftists are going to say, well, yeah, the Constitution says that, Ken Cuccinelli, but repelling invasion refers to nations invading us or the forces of a nation state doing that. These are just individuals. That doesn't constitute an invasion. How do you respond to that potential criticism?
So I think you're right that is a potential criticism. And look, the formal power in the Constitution is a war power. And yes, it's what I'd call a low violence invasion, as such things go. But after 9/11, if you read the Declaration of War, called an authorization for the use of military force, as you know very well, but constitutionally exactly the same thing. So Declaration of War by Congress. Who did they declare war on? They declared war on associations, organizations, or individuals, persons who may have helped or harbored folks involved in 9/11. And harbor is not even participating, right? So, and they didn't even know the individuals they were declaring war on. So Congress has declared war on individuals, unknown individuals. That same war power is out of the same Constitution. It's, in fact, in the exact same article, Article 1 of the Constitution. I appreciate you playing devil's advocate. I think you're right. That will be a criticism, but it is actually one of the more easily dealt with of them all. I think what this boils down to is, at what point is what's coming across a state's border an invasion? And I'll be very clear, because it's one way to take the politics out of it. We were being invaded when President Trump was president. The difference was, for constitutional purposes, the difference was the federal government was actually attempting to stop it.
Right.
Unlike the current federal government, which is inviting it in violation of the guarantee clause, which is Article 4, Section 4.
All right.
So the border states have this power if they're willing to use it. It's a question of political
I'm
will.
I'm going to ask you next why they're not, and then we're going to switch topics to your mission right now, which is to stop voter election fraud. We're talking to Ken Cuccinelli, formerly of the Trump administration. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you love America first, show it. Go to our website, sebgorkastore.com, for all your America First gear made in America, including all the Let's Go Brandon hats, t-shirts, and yard signs. That's sebgorkastore.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Job Creators Network.
All right, guys, I want to hear from you. Should we be celebrating the lack of masks, or is it something that, you know, never, ever should have happened? Call us 1-833-33-GORKA. That's 1-833-334-6752. And whilst you're doing that, while you're dialing, be sure to go online, if you haven't done so already, and book your tickets for the Stand With Israel tour. 10 days later this year, with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife, we are traveling to the Holy Land. We're going to be there where our Lord and Savior walked the earth. Places you may have only read about in the New Testament, we're actually going to be standing there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. right there at the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Reserve your places today. Call 855-565-5519 or go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519 or standwithisraeltour.com. A little thing I had to verify yesterday that I said I'd share with you once I knew it was true is a very interesting image I was sent in the direct messaging system of Twitter from President Trump's office. Let's put it up on the screen. On Friday, I wrote a tweet. The swamp is desperately trying to sabotage President Trump's imminent endorsement of J.D. Vance. I had that on good authority. They were trying to sabotage it, which is exactly a very good reason to support this Marine. Put the image back up, Eric, because I need to read what was written on the tweet. He may be banned from Twitter, but that doesn't mean he doesn't know what's going on, because President Trump saw my tweet, printed it out, and wrote on it in his inimitable style. That handwriting cannot be mistaken. Sebastian, done. Best wishes, Donald. Signed, Donald J. Trump. He's never signed anything for me so far, Donald. So thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Let's talk to the man that we were writing about. He is with us right now. He is the Senate candidate for Ohio, J.D. Vance. How's your weekend been? Happy Easter.
Thank you. I hope you had a happy Easter, too. We had a hell of a weekend. And I was actually, on Good Friday, I was having a milkshake with my son. I get a phone call from a number I don't recognize. And the guy on the other end says, "This is Donald Trump." And I said, "Is it really?" And he said, "Yeah, and I'm gonna endorse you in the Senate." I said, "That's great news, sir. Obviously been working hard for it. It's a huge boost to the campaign. You know, most endorsements don't move votes. Donald Trump's endorsement moves a lot of votes. So I already felt good about the race. Now I feel great about it. And I think, you know, this endorsement is the thing that we're going to need to carry us forward to win the primary. And then, of course, take on the Democrats and try to take the Senate back and stop this craziness."
All right. We have so much to discuss. How much time do you have, J.D.?
I've got 25 minutes or so. Is that good?
All right. Let's keep you on for 10 minutes. That's two segments, because I got so much to ask you. First thing is, and I think it was a plant from your Republican opponent's campaign rang in yesterday. I've been fielding these tweets since I supported you and since the president endorsed you on Friday, saying he's a never Trumper. He hates President Trump. He's just a turncoat. Every time I say, "Really? Quote it for me." And they go back years. They don't talk about how you've said, "I made a mistake. Trump's the man. It's America first." I have to ask you, because every time it comes up, what is your relationship to America First and to MAGA? And I'm going to use a left-wing phrase, and I apologize in advance, JD, your evolution over the years.
Yeah, man, it's pretty straightforward, right? I always, you know, I liked a lot of what the president talked about on trade, on foreign policy, on immigration. I had a lot of skepticisms of Trump the person, and I was happy to be proven wrong. And look, I think it's important when you're wrong about something, not to hem and haw and try to talk around it and pretend you weren't wrong. I mean, I didn't think Trump was going to be a great president. He happened to be the greatest president of my lifetime. I've been very publicly supportive of the president for the past several years. And it's funny, Seb, when I talk to the president about this, I mean, you know better than I do, right? He has a memory, like unbelievable memory. He remembers everything. He remembers what I said about him 6 years ago. He remembers what I said about him 3 years ago. Right. And what's so funny is the president himself said, you know, some of the best people for me were people who weren't early fans of me, but were converts. And you're a convert. And that's exactly right. You know, I'm a convert to a righteous cause, right? Because I think it's the thing that's going to save this country and actually take it back, not just to sort of have a slow break on what the Democrats are doing, but to actually push back and return America to greatness. That, to me, is what Trump represents more than anything. I think, of course, he was fought harder by the establishment of both parties than any person in my lifetime. I've never seen a political leader that the elites in this country tried to destroy, not just beat him electorally. They tried to destroy his life, take his business, destroy the lives of his kids. That means something to me, right? Because they've come after me too. And I realized that this guy was so hated by all of the right people because he was actually getting stuff done. That's really my evolution, right? It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. Yeah. I think it's important to be honest about this stuff. And of course, I've got the president's endorsement now.
Right. This is the weirdest thing that people call in.
Because I criticized him 6 years ago.
Yeah, this is the weird thing that people call in and say, I'm a supporter of the president, but J.D. Vance is a turncoat. And I'm saying, hang on a second. Do you support President Trump? Because he just endorsed J.D. So are you undermining the writ of the kingmaker? Let me ask you a question. As somebody who's made that transition, why are so many people incapable who call themselves Republicans, who believe in national security, who believe in a strong economy, who saw what President Trump did for 4 years, why are they unable, do you think, to do what you did, J.D.?
Yeah, I mean, I think I understand this better than most, Seb, because I came from a working class background, went to law school at Yale and was myself a Trump critic early on, man. I think that what's going on is these guys come from the social world of the elites. They crave the affection and the attention, and the approval of the Yale Law School professor more than they do their own people and their own voters. And that just becomes a kind of mental illness, right? Where you're so desperate for the approval of the left. Even some of these people, like David French, I don't think he's aware of it, maybe, that he's so desperate for the approval of people who are trying to destroy the country that they eventually become traitors to their own cause. And I really think that's what's going on. It's one of the reasons why I think we need to send more Republicans from backgrounds like mine who actually come from the voters who make up the Republican Party. Because at the end of the day, so many of the elite, I mean, think of Mitt Romney, right? He was our presidential candidate 10 years ago. Yeah. He is now actively fighting more than most Democrats against what we believe in.
Yeah, it is a truly a psychotic phenomena. If you say that you represent the values of a strong America, a safe America, a strong economy, smaller government, draining the swamp, and then you don't support the man who actually demonstrated that for 4 years, then it's not him that is the problem. It is you that is the problem. We're going to talk about your expectations for the midterms, how the campaign is going. You can support him at J.D. Vance. I learned a great deal from him, especially his book, Hillbilly Elegy, that explained really why a non-politician could become the president. Please follow him, J.D. Vance 1 on Twitter. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios, our brand new studio. Give them a wide shot, guys. Let's show them everything that there is in our new studio. We've got to get J.D. Vance in studio to check it out when he is next in the swamp. We will be discussing his plan for this midterm year. You're listening to the Salem Radio Network. Stay on this channel.
ReliefFactor.com studios. This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
The Biden administration announced that the Transportation Security Administration will no longer enforce the federal mandate requiring masks in all U.S. airports and onboard aircraft.
Finally!
I think that air steward is rather happy there. It's not just the passengers after hundreds of captains across America announced yesterday the mask mandate has been struck down by a federal judge. Why did we have one in the first place? It's that time of the week. We are delighted to have with us co-host of the Scholars and Sense podcast, author of Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other, Lord Conrad Black. Welcome back to America First.
Thanks very much, Sebastian.
Lord Black, I presume you two are very happy given the decision that occurred yesterday.
I'm normally not a flyer on American airlines, and the airlines I do fly on they weren't quite as rigorous as yours were. But yes, and I think that it is a very telling thing to see no matter what the audience. these tremendous expressions of relief when they're informed they don't have to wear masks anymore. And the best I thought was a group of school children about, I don't know, 6 weeks or so ago, where the teacher just said, well, you don't have to wear the masks anymore. And they just, you know, jumped up and down and ran around in jubilation, high-fiving each other and hugging each other and doing cartwheels and things. It was hilarious. But that basically is what everybody in the pub, and we're not always energetic as you know, as 10-year-olds, but that's the public reaction, I think.
Yeah, and that does create a rather delicious catch-22, does it not, for the Biden administration? Do they...
Well, I think they look completely absurd. I mean, they're trying to cling to something that nobody wants, that doesn't work, that has been completely debunked, and now has been ditched by the courts.
But won't the radical wing of the party take umbrage at the administration if they don't try to appeal this federal decision in a higher court?
I suppose they would. Look, I have to confess, I'm not the best person to judge their reaction because I'm so antagonistic to them in most respects anyway. But I suppose they would. But at some point, somebody around the White House has got to give at least a passing thought to the idea of political self-preservation. I mean, are they on a suicide mission, or are they trying to function as a continuing administration?
Well, that is the question. Are they on a suicide mission? Are they hostages to their own ideology? I think that could be the subject of your next
book. Well, some of them are, but surely the whole regime isn't. But again, I don't know. I mean, Sebastian, you're sitting there right in the midst of it. You would know better than I. And I must say that to judge from their conduct to date, their sense of political self-preservation is extremely limited.
Yeah, I mean, there doesn't seem to be any inkling of an indication that they understand that their policies are not popular or they need to have some kind of reassessment, whether it's Afghanistan, whether it's inflation, energy, the border. Do you see any glimmer of rational thought?
I see this is probably not relevant to the kind of things you're talking about that affect the voters very directly. I hope I see a slight bit of it in the Defense Department from the Secretary of Defense. You know, he said the Chinese are not 10 feet tall, and he seems, maybe I'm grasping at straws, but Secretary Austin seems to me, despite my extremely low opinion of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, whom he retains for some reason, seems to me to be purposeful and has some sort of serious view of the American national interest in the world and the need to defend it unapologetically. But no, for the rest, I don't see any of it. I mean, every time I see one of these people on television, I'm horrified. I mean, this man, Becerras, is such an enthusiast for abortions, I'm surprised he hasn't advocated that men try and have them. And Mayorkas, the Homeland Security Secretary, I mean, how he has any credibility left as a man who told us over a year ago that the border was closed and would remain closed, I don't know. But the answer is no. I don't see any progress in any other place except possibly at the Pentagon.
Yeah. Let us turn, Lord Black, to the area you know so very well as the former head of the Hollinger Group. How many newspapers belong to your group, Lord Black?
Daily newspapers, all countries combined, at our height, about almost 200.
Wow.
Which was the largest, I believe, of any company, but many of them are quite small. Although the big ones were big, like the London Daily Telegraph. But the and then weekly newspapers, we had a couple of hundred of those as well.
All right. So as a person who had to manage...
And some famous magazines like The Spectator.
So as a person who had to helm that ship in control of 200 publications, I have to dive into a story that's one of the leading stories here in America, and it has to do with journalistic ethics. The Washington Post, there is a journalist called Taylor Lorenz, who in the past has said that doxing, revealing the identity of private citizens or even public figures like journalists, is a bad thing. This individual, with her colleagues from the Post, has gone to the homes of private individuals related to an anonymous Twitter account called the Libs of TikTok. This account has more than 600 followers, and all it does, it doesn't do commentary, it doesn't do political analysis, it simply shows the videos of liberals being liberals. So pro-critical race theory, pro-transgender. So it's a primary source material Twitter account that some on the left seem to take umbrage with. So they wanted to dox the woman who is behind this account, who so far has stayed anonymous. First things first, before I get your reaction, this is the journalist who has gone after this private individual, going to the addresses of this lady's relatives not too long ago, talking of the dangers of herself being doxxed. This is Cut 8, Washington Post's Taylor Lorenz.
You feel like any little piece of information that gets out on you will be used by the worst people on the internet to destroy your life. And it's so isolating.
And terrifying.
It's horrifying. I'm so sorry.
It's overwhelming.
It's really hard.
So that's the Washington Post's own journalist saying she doesn't want to be doxxed, have her private address revealed. But she did exactly the same to, I presume, a conservative Twitter account owner. From the point of journalistic ethics, could you respond to this story that is driving the news cycle here?
Look, we never had anything to do with that kind of thing. I think it's completely deplorable and reprehensible. But I'm not sure what you can do about it officially, because I suppose that doxing is, as long as it doesn't amount to actionable trespass, is an exploitation of right of freedom of expression. I suppose it is. But if by doxing we mean also the which, in goodness knows, there's no shortage of this either, the harassment of people in their homes and making noise and disturbing them and constantly ringing their doorbells and that kind of thing, that does constitute being a nuisance, and I think should be something that can be legally restrained. But as to the ethics of it, of course, it's an outrage. It's a complete outrage and a disgrace. And it shouldn't be done to anyone, never mind a mainstream person, which for our purposes, interpreting it's a wide range from people who support this administration to people who are quite hostile to it. But I think it's a disgrace, and an organization like the Washington Post should have nothing to do with it.
What would have happened to somebody working for the Hollinger Group as a journalist who did that to a private individual and went to the homes of their relatives?
Well, the first time they did it, they'd get a warning not to do it again, and if there was a second time, they'd be out.
Yeah, we are talking.
Fired for cause.
We are talking to the former head of the Hollinger Group, more than 200 newspapers and magazines. We seem to lack that journalistic ethics here in the mainstream media. He is the co-host, along with Victor Davis Hanson and Bill Bennett, of the podcast Scholars in Sense. You can follow his writings at Epoch Times. You can follow him on Twitter at Conrad M. Black. We will be back with Lord Black momentarily. If you enjoy our discussions here on America First, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Go to Spotify, plug in my name, look for America First, subscribe. The price is right. It's free. Write a review. Share the links. We'll be back after these messages.
Portions of America First are brought to you in part by Whose Children Are They?
Are you ready to get out of the house to blow away those COVID blues? If that's the case, it's time to travel again. Join me. and my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie for our Stand With Israel tour. 10 days in the Holy Land to walk where our Lord and Savior walked the earth, to visit the places you may only have read about in the New Testament. We will actually be there. Temple Mount in Jerusalem, the shores of the Sea of Galilee, the Garden of Gethsemane. Register today. Reserve your places. Call 855-565-5519 or go to standwithisraeltour.com. That number again, 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. Standwithisraeltour.com. We're not just here to have amazing guests and analysis and to talk to you, our listeners and our wonderful callers, but to give you the news. And I'm so happy to announce that he is back on the bench. He was hearing oral arguments. Of course, I'm talking about Associate Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who has been on the Supreme Court since 1991. He has recovered from his hospitalization for flu-like symptoms. So welcome back, Associate Justice Clarence Thomas. We are talking to our regular guest. He is the author of a veritable library of books, every single one of them, which is worth your time. The most recent is Donald J. Trump, A President Like No Other, but he has three other presidential works: Roosevelt, Champion of Freedom. He has a work on Nixon, A Life in Full, and then more than one autobiography. He has A Life in Progress, and then Backward, A Matter of Principle, and then on America and the Rise of the Republic is, of course, his work, Flight of the Eagle. Lord Black, have to discuss... Oh, first things first. In the break, you mentioned the reputation of the Washington Post. You've written a work on Nixon. Could you just give us your historic understanding of the reporting of Watergate and why so many people misunderstand what they actually wrote, and why the conventional wisdom on that reportage is so wrong?
Yeah, it's, of course, a complicated subject, but to be fair about it, to condense it a great deal, there has never been one shred of probative evidence that a serious court in a dispassionate atmosphere would accept as conclusive that Mr. Nixon himself committed any crimes. He certainly didn't know anything about the break-in of the Watergate forced entry before it happened, and was horrified when it did happen, and that his people had anything to do with it. And the so-called cover-up consisted of his admittedly not telling the truth to the public several times. That is true, but, you know, the presidents do that, you know, sometimes, and he wasn't under oath, and it wasn't a crime. He squandered a lot of political capital, as he himself admitted, that it wasn't a crime. And the case against him rests on, essentially, on the theory that money was advanced by the Republican National Committee with his approval to pay for the legal bills of defendants in the Watergate affair, and he did do that, but he didn't do it. I mean, he did authorize it, but not under any basis of altered testimony, not to get them to tell anything other than the truth. He was paying the money to them so that they would have their legal fees paid, be able to take care of their families while the trials went on, and wouldn't be absolute sitting ducks for prosecutors saying, all right, we'll do a plea bargain, we'll let you off lightly, but you denounce the people above you and take it straight up to the Oval Office door, which is the way the prosecutors would work, particularly in the District of Columbia, which, as you know, is a 90% Democratic voting electoral district. And the prosecutors would be, they're always out to get a Republican. So Nixon said, well, all right, well, if they did this, unlawful though some of it obviously was, if they did it thinking they were serving the election, then the National Committee can pay their legal bills, but not conditionally on them lying. He never said that. No one ever said that. And you know, the fact is, what happened was the media then was even well, just as rabidly hostile to the administration as it was under President Trump, and maybe not quite as hostile until they saw blood and thought they could really get Nixon, whom they saw to be a threat to them, and they did get him. Now, Mr. Nixon himself conceded he made a number of bad mistakes. He manfully admitted his mistakes and resigned his office, even though he felt passionately, I know this from knowing him in his latter years and from studying it carefully and written about it, that he didn't commit any crimes. But he did not feel the United States should be subjected to the indignity of an impeachment of a president. There had not been such a thing for over a century, Andrew Johnson, and he felt that it would disserve the country. So instead of standing in the way of it, he would clear out and let this terrible controversy it allowed to rise up and fester to go away. And he took the patriotic stance, as he did in 1960 when he declined President Eisenhower's urgings to contest a very dubious election.
Yes.
But the Washington Post, and in particular Woodward and Bernstein, have lived off this now for 50 years. And it's a fraud. It's an absolute fraud. And most of what they wrote was a fraud.
The record has to be set straight. If you want to know more, please do read Lord Black's book on Richard Nixon. In the couple of minutes we have left with you, Lord Black, how amused are you as a former publisher of so many outlets that a man who is calling for more freedom of speech, who has made an offer of more than $40 billion for Twitter, is being lambasted by the establishment media for being a threat to freedom of speech?
Well, it is, isn't it, a perfect illustration of the utter self-serving hypocrisy of these people. I have concerns about whether his bid will succeed, and I see they're already starting with the poison pill and so on. But I think win or lose on the bid, look, if he loses on the bid, he'll still get rid of his stock at a profit, I think. But as a green mailer, it'll work, even though I don't think that was his intention. So Musk is not going to lose money on this. But if his bid isn't successful, it will be a public relations success. Because to answer your question, everyone can see the absolute hypocrisy of this cartel complaining that an incomer saying we should open things up and not be so swift to cancel people while we continue to carry the outrageous comments of the Ayatollahs of Iran and so forth, that this person has made his point. So I think at the least it's going to be a double black eye for the social media oligarchic cartel. And at best, Musk actually will get control of Twitter and will get some real competition.
Well, it's a very exciting time to be. We will be following it very closely. The podcast is Scholars and Sense. The Twitter account is Conrad M. Black. This is America First. Your calls next on 1-833-33-GORKA. That's 1-833-334-6752. Sound off here on the Salem Radio Network.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.